Dad, you okay? Just need a hug is all, he says. Did something happen? I wrap my arms around his waist and squeeze the way I used to when I was small. He sets his chin on my head and exhales. You could say that. It's Troy Jr.'s 30th birthday. Whoa. Dad never talks about his other two kids. That's wild. Mm-hmm. Made the mistake of looking him up and trying to call. He, wasn't real happy to hear from me. Really? Yep. I know I don't talk about my old life much, but the divorce was difficult. Definitely hit Troy Jr. the hardest. Wow. And he doesn't know it because his mom told a different story, but I had no intention of going anywhere, Jupiter, when she found out about my attraction to men, because I kept it under wraps for a very long time. She couldn't handle it. Whole split was her idea. I don't respond. He was going to stay married to a woman? My brain can't even comprehend it. Anyway, sorry for dumping that on you. It's fine, Daddy. Figured you'd say that. He kisses the top of my head. You're the perfect reminder of everything I gained. He lets me go, and as I look up into his beautiful brown face, I want to tell him everything. The Ray stuff, the Coop stuff, the Brianna stuff, all of it. But I can't, can I? For one, he's my dad. Yeah, we've had the sex talk, and he and Poppy are super open, but still. And what if he starts asking questions I can't answer? I'll leave you to it, he says. Appreciate the hug. And he turns to leave. But as soon as he steps into the hallway, the doorbell rings. A few seconds later, Poppy calls up the stairs. Jupiter, Quattro, and Ray are here. I told them to come in, but they said they'd rather wait outside. It's like a shot of adrenaline. Dad pokes his head back into the room. Everything okay? I barely hear him, too busy tripping over my feet trying to get shoes on. If Coop and Ray are together, Coop will actually smile and talk to me, even if it's all fake. I bolt from the room and down the stairs toward the front door. God, when did I get so pathetic? Hey, guys, I say, bounding onto the porch barefoot like a kicked puppy hoping for a head scratch. Hi, Jupes, Ray says. Don't look at her mouth. Don't look at her mouth. Don't look at her mouth. And then I see they're holding hands. Kicked again. Sup, girl? Coop looks me over, and one corner of his mouth lifts. And shit, I'm wearing his damn clothes, like I always do when I'm alone these days. Now Ray is checking me out, and the corners of her mouth are pulling down. Is this sticky feeling of shame my comeuppance for being so shitty to people I supposedly care about? Maybe. Nobody's saying anything. The first question to rise in my throat is, why didn't you guys come up? But maybe that's a blessing in disguise. What if they could sense that Brianna had been there? Ray clears her throat. So, I don't mean to pry, but... She looks at Courtney and he gives her a nod to continue. Seriously? Ray takes a deep breath, then charges forward. I noticed Brianna's Jeep leaving your driveway this morning and... Well, she agreed to help my sister write a grant for something, but hasn't been returning her calls. Do you know what's going on with her? Is she for real? She's got a lot going on, so I'm sure it's an oversight. Wait, you said you saw her leaving my driveway? She peeks up at Courtney again. Mm-hmm. The sun was rising when Bree left, so if Ray saw her go, she either came to Coop's really early or stayed there all fucking night. I look him dead in the eye, and he glares right back at me. Ray, I need to tell you something, I say, fully intending to put Courtney Cooper's ass on blast. And yeah, myself too by default, but I don't even care right now. I look at her. Her eyes are wide, expectant. Back at him. His eyes are narrowed, a silent threat. Back at her. She's getting nervous. Her eyes dart between me and him. Back at him. He checks to make sure she's not looking, then mouths, I will never speak to you again. Damn it! Jupiter, Ray says. Now what do I do? It's not like he's speaking to me anyway, right? What harm could it really do? Now his eyes are pleading, not angry. Shit. What to say? What to say? Brianna and I hooked up. Why the hell did I say that? Oh, you what? Coop shouts, which actually does me a favor. Now Ray's looking at him like he's lost it instead of me. His eyes dart between us. I mean, come on, punk ass, say something. I know you want to. Coop clears his throat and shifts his gaze toward the street. Ray eyes him, clearly confused, but then she looks at my braceletless wrist, and then her face totally changes. I'd almost say she's Sad. I mean, that's a good thing, right? She says, finally found a girl who's worth it. Yep, I say, and I cross my arms. It was great. Totally worth the wait. Out of the corner of my eye, I see Coop's jaw clench. That's right, asshole. Well, I guess that's that, Ray forces a smile. We're happy for you, Jupes. It's Jupiter. She pulls back like I smacked her, which I guess in a way I did. I'll talk to Bree, I say. Was there anything else? Ray looks at Courtney, who's now staring at the sky, and then back at me. No, she says. That's all. Great. I'll catch you guys later. I spin on the ball of my foot and go inside without waiting for a response. 28. Somebody to Love. A Day at the Races, 1976. At 6:59 p.m. that following Thursday, I hear the doorbell from where I'm lying on my belly in the sanctuary. My heart takes off, phoom, like the hooves of a dozen horses thumping against the dirt of a derby track. Shit, you guys, they're here, I say to my posters. My sense of triumph in lording Brianna over Coop lasted 27 minutes before the guilt set in. Then I spent the next 3 days playing happy when other people were around, but spending all my private time crying in my closet. No clue how Ray did the fake joy thing long term. I also wasn't very good at it, because when I got home from school on day 4, there was a holographic gift bag on my bed. The t-shirt inside had the word Freddy above the box from the periodic table that contained the atomic symbol HG. It was my first time smiling in weeks. The card, though, caught me by surprise. Baby girl, saw this shirt and thought you'd like it. Took me a minute to figure out the meaning, but life can be like that sometimes, wouldn't you say? Love you, sweet pea. Sincerely, Mama Nee. P.S. Y'all think y'all slick, but you're not. Hashtag stained birthday sheets or whatever the hell it is you kids say these days. Y'all better keep it responsible. Once I managed to get beyond my mortification, which involved a day of avoiding Mama Nee like patriarchal-ass U.S. history homework, I decided it was time to take action. Now it's too late to turn back. I roll over and sit up, stare at my legitimately petrified face in the mirror on the inside of the closet door. Is this a terrible idea, I say? It's the right thing to do, isn't it? Tell me it's the right thing, Freddy. The stairs creak and groan on the other side of the wall, though Freddy stays mum, and I imagine the two pairs of massive feet tromping up to lead me to my doom. Shit, shit, shit! I stand and go to the sanctuary door. Take a deep breath. Okay, Jupes, focus. What's to gain versus what's to lose? You can do this. I step out of the closet just as there's a knock on my bedroom door. Deep breath. When I open it, Britton and Golly are standing on the other side. Britton is smiling tentatively, and there's a twinkle of excitement in his blue eyes, and Golly is flat out beaming. Madam, he says as he takes a small bow. Me? I'm wicked nervous, especially considering what I plan to say. The only other times they've been inside this room, inside my house even, they were with Coop. But Coop isn't here. He went with Ray and Dr. Chin to check out some super elite high school called Brazelton Preparatory Academy. It's why I invited Britton and Golly over tonight. And I made them promise they wouldn't tell him they were coming. Hey guys, come on in. Sit wherever you want. Golly makes a beeline for Coop's chair, nestles right on down into it and pulls the lever so the recliner part kicks out. I open my mouth to say something, but Britton pipes up first. Golly, get your big ass out of Coop's chair, brah. You're defiling a holy place right now. Jupe and Coop only. Whatever. Jupiter just said sit wherever we want. I guess I did say that, huh? She doesn't mind if I sit here, do you, Jupiter? He stretches back and clasps his hands over his massive brick-like midsection. I clear my throat and smile. This has been an excellent icebreaker. I kind of do, Golly, and my mistake for saying wherever. No offense to you, of course, but I have to go with Britton on this one. See? Oh. Golly sits up and pushes the leg extender down. Stands. I have no doubt his chiseled brown cheeks are hot to the touch. Told you, fool. Britton takes a seat on the floor with his back against the bed. Blatant disrespect. I'm laughing now. It feels really good. Here, you take the desk chair and I'll sit in the lazy boy, I say to Golly. I'm going to turn on some music if you fellas don't mind. You go right ahead, Miss Jupiter, Britton says. I open my laptop and put my favorite playlist on shuffle. Somebody to Love comes pouring out of the speakers. Oh, hell yeah, Britton says. Freddie and the dudes be taking them to church on this song. Wait, Britain knows Queen? Dog, what are you talking about? Golly says. Of course your uncultured yeti ass wouldn't be familiar with the best music to ever come out of the UK. Shut your tiny ass up, fool. I know who the Beatles are. The Beatles. Pfft. Britain looks at me like, do you believe this guy? And I swallow a laugh. This is Queen, brah. Queen? Yes, dummy. Don't know if I've mentioned it, but I absolutely adore these two. You see the poster on Miss Jupiter's closet? That right there is Freddie Mercury, Britain goes on. You know, I'm 98% sure the Queen would have knighted that guy had he not died so young. May his soul rest in peace. I'm floored. You really know your stuff, huh? He smiles at me. My mom was born and raised in Southwest London, burb called Twickenham. She queendoctrinated me from the womb. Wait, your mom is from England? How did I not know this? He laughs. Why you think my name is Britain? If only your little ass knew as much about not getting played as you do about this boy band. Hush up, Godzilla. I laugh as Britain flips Golly off while Golly smiles smugly. And then I take a seat in the Lazy Boy and we descend into an awkward silence. They're looking at each other to avoid looking at me. And then my precious Freddy, wanting to speed things along, I guess, goes, I just gotta get out of this prison cell. Someday I'm gonna be free. I get it, Freddy. So guys, first of all, thank you for coming, I say. They both turn to me, and both look nervous now. I'm sure you're wondering why I asked you here today. Britain nods vigorously. Well, you've both offered me your friendship in recent months, so I decided to take you up on it. Together. I'm also desperate, but I don't say that. I look back and forth between them. Golly, the lovable giant, and Britain, who might have an issue with woman worship, but is really very sweet. Sure hope I can trust them, and that they'll help me. Coop and I slept together, I say. You'd think I was Medusa the way they've turned to stone while staring at me. You mean slept as in sleep, right? Britain says, because we know you do that all the time. Brit! What, brah? Coop told us that shit a long time ago, but Jupe's not supposed to know we know, you idiot. It's fine, I say. That's not actually what I meant. I look down at my hands. I'm saying we had sex. Complete and utter silence. More than once. Still nothing. I think I might be in love with him. When I look up, they're staring at each other and doing some kind of dude telepathy or something. Golly turns to me. Sorry, can you say that again? We're not too sure we heard you right. Ugh, I put my hands in my hair. Okay, so I'm telling you guys this because, one, you're obviously trustworthy if Coop spends so much time with you, and two, of the people I can even remotely consider true friends, you're the only two I haven't shit all over in the past month. They look at each other again, but neither of them speaks. Before I go on, I need both of your words that you will neither mention any of this to Courtney Aloysius Cooper IV. Aloysius? Britain says. He looks at Golly. Coop's middle name is Aloysius? Seriously, dog? Golly gestures to me. My bad, Miss Jupiter, Britain says. Do go on. Okay, so I need you to promise you won't tell Coop anything I'm about to tell you. Not a word of it leaves this room. Done, Golly says. I also need your word that you will neither judge me nor view my forthcoming confessions as support of harmful notions about the legitimacy of sapphism. Say, what about sapphires? Golly asks. She's asking us to promise we won't look at what she's about to say as evidence that supports negative stereotypes about lesbians. Britain looks at me. Exactly, I say. We promise, Britain smiles. Ray taught me that word. And promise not to judge me, I say. We won't judge you, Miss Jupiter, Britain says. Promise? We promise, Golly says. Okay, so long story as short as I can make it. Man, am I really going to tell them all of it? Guess I kinda have to, don't I? Ray kissed me on New Year's Eve. Wait, for real? Britain says. Yes, for real. And despite knowing she probably didn't have actual feelings for me, I fell pretty hard for her. But just before I could tell her, she told me she was in love with Coop. Damn, Golly says. I knew Ray and Coop would wind up together once she told him how she felt, so I decided to have sex with Coop so that no matter what happened between the two of them, his first time would be with me. They both draw back. Thing is, I enjoyed it a little more than I expected to. Golly's eyebrow rises. As in, I went back almost every night for a week. Well, damn, Coop, Britain says. I shoot him a look that could wither roses. Ignore the tiny imbecile, Jupiter, Golly says. Please continue. As I was saying, I glare at Britton again. This went on for a week. It really only stopped because Ray finally told Coop how she felt. I tried to cover my ass by being like, that's awesome, you should date her. But when he found out I'd known all along, he cut me off. He acts like everything is fine when we're all together, but Coop hasn't really spoken to me in almost a month. A month? From Golly. 28 days, 8 hours, and... I squint at the clock. 36 minutes, to be exact. They lock eyes again, both clearly shell-shocked. That's the other part. The longer he cold shoulders me, the more I realize the main reason I kept going back was because of the feelings, I say. I won't pretend to know the ins and outs of human sexuality, but that whole week I couldn't sleep or eat or think, and the only time I felt right was when I was with Coop. That's pretty deep, Golly says. Well, it freaked me out because, hello, Coop is a dude. I'm not supposed to be into those. Fair point. So I hooked up with Brianna. I cover my face. The college girl, Britt says. I nod. Damn, Jupiter, you got more play in the past month than baby Britt has in his whole high school career. Hey, fuck you, brah. Golly giggles in his little baby laugh. So do I, actually. Sorry about the foul language, Jupiter, from Britt. You were saying? I smile. Well, the encounter with Brianna was fucking mind-blowing, I wink at Britton. But it just, like it wasn't the same as with Coop, you know? We don't, but we'll certainly take your word for it, Golly grins. I smile again. I've said it before, but it bears repeating. I really, really love these two. After she and I were done, all I could think about was how the emotional bond and all the friendship and attachment were missing with her. I couldn't stop thinking about Coop, you guys. If you ever tell anybody this, I'll deny it, but I spent hours sobbing in my closet because I was so torn up missing him. Aw, that's sweet. Britton's beaming like he struck gold. So, and I hope I'm allowed to ask this, Golly says, but does this mean you're like, bi now? My eyes drop to my hands in my lap. I'm not really sure. Huh? I sigh. You guys know Toby Folletti? Sure do, Britton says. Had a thing for him in fourth grade when he was Talia. Good looking dude, too. Golly shakes his head. You're not supposed to use the dead name, Britt. Oh, Britt turns as red as Freddie Mercury's famous queenly cape. My bad. Won't happen again, I swear. And he crosses himself. I smile. Well, I think he's really good looking, too, I say. Might even have a bit of a crush. Okay, Golly says. And, I don't know, being attracted to someone not cis makes me think I could be attracted to someone non-binary, which is why I'm not sure bisexual is the right word, at least for me. Not that there's anything wrong with bisexuality, I've just seen different definitions, I guess, and I just don't know at this point. It's a weird place to be. Golly nods. This shit's hella interesting. Yeah, well, identity crisis isn't an exaggeration, I say. Damn, I didn't even think of that, says Britt. Sorry, Miss Jupiter. Ah, it's fine. I'm working through it. They both nod. I grew up with gay parents, and I've always known I like girls, so I just assumed I was a lesbian, you know? Makes sense to me, Golly says. This Coop thing is jarring, and there's a part of me that's still uncomfortable because loving him seems too easy. My dads have only been married for a few years because before then, it wasn't legal. How dare I fall for a boy and just avoid all the shit my gay friends have to deal with? Wow. Britt says. Shit's deep. Yeah, but I do love Coop, and I think that needs to take precedence, I go on. I'd be lying if I said I didn't still feel something for Ray, but how dumb was I, you know? Making it seem like Coop was just some fling? We said some pretty intense stuff to each other all those nights, and of course he meant every word. Yes, when the whole Ray thing came up, the first words out of his mouth made it seem like he was focused on the sex. But, like, how much of a jackass am I for even allowing myself to latch onto that? Of course Courtney Cooper loved me. He's definitely been madly in love with you for as long as we've known him, Golly says. We made fun of him for it, too. I shake my head. I know he's with Ray now, and I wouldn't do anything to sabotage that. But I want to make it clear to him that he's more important to me than my reputation, I guess. They don't respond. I'm sick of lying to everyone, myself most of all, and I want him to know I meant every word of what I said while we were, in the moment? Britton makes his eyebrows dance. I laugh. Yes, that. Though I also want to be perfectly clear about who I am and how, or even if I choose to identify for the sake of me, you know? Because isn't that what it really comes down to? Man, it feels good to say that aloud. Golly looks at Britton, who's looking at Golly, and they nod at each other. Then they stand, wrap their arms around each other's shoulders, and beckon me over. Come huddle up with us, Miss Jupiter, Britton says. Once their arms are draped over my shoulders and mine are across their mid-backs, they both lean down low. So Jupiter needs a game plan, Golly says, and he starts kind of moving from left to right. When Britton joins this swaying motion, I get pulled into it too, just because they're both so much bigger than me. I actually think I already have one. Sway, sway, sway. That's that shit I'm talking about, Britton says, an independent woman. I laugh and sway. It's kind of fun. So hit us, Jupiter, Golly says. What's the plan and how can we help? I take a deep breath. They both smell really nice. And I tell them exactly what I want to do. 29. We Are the Champions. News of the World, 1977. The next time my doorbell rings, 6:11 Monday morning, I'm in the sanctuary again, but I'm ready to go this time. I've had We Are the Champions on repeat since I got up, and I can picture Freddie in his black and white spandex jumpsuit with his hairy chest all exposed, pouring his heart out of his vocal cords into the microphone on the end of his bottomless mic stand. It's magic. I've got on Coop's practice jersey from ninth grade, which fits me like a glove, these charcoal gray ripped jeans that he loves, and the low-top Chuck Taylors covered in Queen lyrics that he had custom made for my last birthday. Well, you guys, I say to the posters, I guess this is goodbye. I give each of them a kiss, slide the clothes back over them, then step out of my closet and pull the door shut behind me. When I open the front door, Britton and Golly look on the verge of bursting. Saturday night, the team won the state basketball tournament and Coop was named MVP. We're definitely going into this whole thing on a good note, and nobody, Ray included, will question my choice of outfit. M'lady, your chariot awaits, Britton says, gesturing toward Golly's massive truck. Dogs! Shit. Golly and Britton make panicked eye contact and then look at me as Coop trots over from his house. I pull the front door closed and we start making our way to the truck. I swear he's not usually awake this early, I mumble. Play it cool. Play it cool. Coop makes a beeline for me and hugs me around the waist with one arm. He kisses my forehead without looking me in the eye, though he does look over my outfit. I got your message about not needing a ride, he says, but you didn't tell me it's because these assholes were picking you up. I can hear the spiked barbs at the tips of his words, but I don't think Britt or Golly is any the wiser. And why wouldn't we be? Golly says with indignation. For your information, brah, Miss Jupiter is our friend too. Coop looks down at me and lifts an eyebrow, and my heart totally melts all over the sidewalk. Oh my God, has it really gotten this bad? They're helping me set up for the Iridis meeting this morning. Both of Coop's brows shoot up now like, oh, really? And then they pull down and he pokes his delicious-looking bottom lip out. You didn't ask me to help you set up for Iridis. Is he serious right now? It's times like these I want to smack him and smooch him simultaneously. Quit being a baby, Golly shoves him. Yeah, Britton says. Go get your girlfriend, you tutor stealer. Britton extends his elbow and I drape my arm inside it and let him lead me around to the passenger side. Once he opens the door, he gives me a boost to help me up into the truck and then I slide to the center of the bench seat and set my book bag at my feet. Golly's just made it inside, but before Britton hops in, he turns to Coop. By the way, we know Miss Jupiter's birthday is this weekend. She turned us down because she said it's tradition to hang out with you. He points at Coop. We had some dope shit planned, so you better not let her down. Once he's got the door closed, I turn to him and laugh. You are awful, I say as we back into the street. I can't believe you totally lied to his face. Britton and Golly didn't plan some dope shit that I turned down. I called and asked if they wanted to do something because I figured Coop would shirk our tradition since he's still pissed at me. He deserves it, man, Britton says. Coop's still standing in my driveway with his mouth open, acting like everything's all hunky-dory. Golly, did you see his eye twitch when I said that birthday thing? Bet he won't be blowing you off now, Miss Jupiter. There's no shutting down the competitive nature of an adolescent dude, especially if his closest homeboys are involved. We wind up blasting the 1981 version of Queen's Greatest Hits and belting We Are the Champions. Britton's got it on his phone during the 12-minute drive to school, but as we pull into the student lot, my stomach twists. Am I really ready for this, guys?
You're the only one who can answer that, Jupiter, Golly says. Just know me and Britt are with you the whole way.
You got the peace offering and everything, Britt asks. I look down at my book bag. I do. Inside, there's a bag of Boom Chicka Pop kettle corn, a bottle of pineapple coconut water, a can of Axe body spray in peace scent, and a card Britton and Golly helped me with. It says, I admit that what I did was a technical foul, but please don't eject me from your game.
You guys remember the plan, right?
Yep, Bryn says. I intercept Ray, and the Golly Brown Giant over there accompanies Coop to the locker where he'll find your gift.
Right.
Everybody good? Golly says, peeking at his watch. I take a deep breath, look up into the faces of these wonderful boys who've been better friends to me over the past few days than I've been to my friends in almost 2 months. I'm ready, you guys.
Good.
Once in the building, we head straight to the family and consumer science classroom that hasn't been used, outside of our IRIDIS meetings, since the school was built 8 years ago. It's already filling up. Usually there are about 25 people, but I could swear there are more this morning. Coop and Ray come in and sit closer to the front of the room than I'd expressly like for them to, but what can I do? Britton's beside me, and Golly's manning the door as people continue to file in. I glance at the clock, 3 minutes until he closes it, and I have to face the music. Ray, who's all snuggled up under Coop and holding the massive brown hand at the end of the arm wrapped around her thin shoulders, smiles up at me and gives a little wave. I will not lose my shit. I will not. I will not. Britton, I think I'm gonna lose my shit, I say as I turn and grab his upper arm. I squeeze.
You won't, he whispers. But how do you know?
He puts his hands on my shoulders and looks into my soulish innards, it seems, with those piercing baby blues.
I know because you are Jupiter goddamn Sanchez and you own this shit, all right? You do this damn thing.
Good at pep talks, said Britton. I hear the classroom door close and Golly appears beside us.
It is time.
He puts his hands together and bows. All right, I say. Hands in, break on three from Britton. We stack our hands super fast and then one, two, three, and we all whisper, break.
You got this, Miss Jupiter.
As Britt and Golly go to their seats to my right and left, facing the group like they're my bodyguards or something, I take a moment to close my eyes and collect myself with my back to the room. When I turn around, Courtney Cooper is staring at me.
Hard.
Ray, of course, looks like a kid on Christmas and is totally oblivious. Won't be that way for long, though.
Hi, guys. Thank you all so much for coming this morning.
I want to run, but I wave instead.
Am I really about to do this?
I clear my throat. So today's meeting is going to be different, I say. More personal. I can't help it. I look at Coop. For the first time in months, I've got his full attention. I take a deep breath and charge on. So over the course of the year, we've talked about the importance of recognizing all sexual identities as legitimate, I say. We've discussed how oftentimes when a girl comes out as lesbian, she's not taken seriously due to the notion that girls who claim to like girls are going through a phase or can be swayed by finding the right guy. This is especially true for girls like myself who don't take on a more masculine presentation. There are some nods around the room. So far, so good. Well, over the past 5 weeks, a lot has changed in my life, and well, I take another very deep breath, but I don't think anybody else in the room is breathing at all. It takes everything in me not to look at Coop now. Okay, before I go on, please note, what I'm about to say in no way diminishes what we've talked about in the past, nor does it validate that just a phase thing I mentioned earlier. Life is a journey without a map, and as such, we'll all encounter twists and turns that force us to correct our course or change directions entirely. I can feel the tension creep into the room and slip down over different faces and shoulders I see in the crowd. Here goes. With all that said, I, Jupiter Charity Sanchez, am here today to announce that, well, that I'm dropping my label. The murmuring begins. Coop's eyes are burning a hole in the side of my face, just willing me to look at him. But I can't. Not yet.
Hold on, y'all, Golly says. She's not done yet.
The room goes quiet again. The truth is, I've been learning a lot about myself lately, and at this point, I don't feel like any of the labels really fit me. I thought I was a lesbian, and yes, I still like girls, but I've come to realize girls aren't all I like.
So you're saying you like boys now? Someone asks.
I clear my throat and my eyes drop. I mean, I definitely like a boy.
So you're bi then, from someone else. It's fine if you say it, Jupiter. I'm bi too. It's nothing to be ashamed of.
I shake my head. It's not that cut and dried for me right now, I say. I'm still figuring things out.
What's there to figure out? Did you not hear her say no labels fit? If she doesn't want to use one, she doesn't have to. It's her life. She can love whoever the hell she wants to.
That would be Courtney Cooper. He and I make eye contact, and I blush and look at the ground. Between my outfit, his outburst, and my red face, I have no doubt most of the people in this room now know exactly which boy I like. So much for discretion.
Once I pull it together, and I cannot bear to look at Ray right now, I take one last breath to say my final piece.
For anyone who's interested, Britton Golly and I are hosting a special meeting this Thursday to talk about different sexual identities, including bisexuality, I look at my dissenter, and some of the negative stereotypes attached to them.
Same time, same place, Golly says.
The 10-minute bell rings, and everyone begins to gather their things.
Thank you all so much for listening to what I had to say. We appreciate you joining us and hope you have a great day.
I turn around as everyone heads to the exit so no one will see me burst into tears. I'm crying, but I have no idea how I actually feel.
A pair of arms wraps around my waist from behind, and judging by how far above the floor my feet wind up, it's Golly.
Britton comes to join the hug from the front.
Miss Jupiter Sandwich, he says.
I exhale and laugh. Then a throat clears and they set me down. Oh boy. After taking a series of woo-saw breaths, I force myself to rotate and face Courtney Aloysius Cooper IV. He smiles.
I can't take it. Eyes drop to my shoes.
Well played, Sanchez.
Oh, shut up.
He laughs. Where's Ray? I take the tissue Golly is holding out to me and wipe my eyes and nose. He looks over his shoulder at the last few people trickling out the door.
I told her to go on ahead. I think she needed a minute.
I'll go find her, Britton says, and then he looks at Golly.
Phase two, brah. Don't forget.
As he trots off, Golly shakes his head. That guy has absolutely no concept of subterfuge.
Coop laughs again.
Well, since it's out there now, Coop, let's go to your locker so you can find Jupiter's peace offering, Golly says.
All right, let's go, Coop replies without taking his eyes off me.
He's staring at me, and I want him to stop because it's burning me to the ground. I'm already a kicked-wide, open-souled mess. Would prefer not to add hot and bothered to the mix, especially since, hello, he still has a girlfriend.
Guess we'll catch you on the flip side, Jupes.
He winks and tugs my earlobe.
Melting.
He and Golly head for the exit as the 5-minute bell rings, and I go and drop down into the sad, unused chair behind the teacher's desk. Highly doubt I'll make it to first period this morning.
Hey, Jupe.
Coop is standing just inside the door.
Yeah? I'm really proud of you, he says.
And then he's gone. 30. Another One Bites the Dust. The Game, 1980. Things with Brianna go a lot better than I anticipate. The worst thing she says during my lengthy coffee shop apology after school is, "You suck, Jay. Really, really bad. Hope you know that."
Is she pissed when I tell her about Courtney?
Quite. She says she suspected I had more than friendship feelings for him, but when I threw myself at her, like a live-ass grenade, she thought she was wrong.
"You were really into what we were doing, Jay. Didn't know that I've ever been with a girl as enthusiastic as you were."
She looks me over a little lasciviously when she says this, which sets off a fireworks show worthy of Times Square on New Year's Eve below my belly button. When I get to Ray's that evening, however, she doesn't say a word as she opens the door to let me in. By the time we reach her room, the silence feels rabid, like any second it'll attack and fry my central nervous system and I won't be able to speak. So, I break it.
"Hi."
"Hey," she says, sitting down on the bed with her back against the headboard. And that's it. I take a peek around because there's a chance that after tonight, I'll never be invited into this room again. Guess I'll jump right in then?
That's probably best.
Ouch. "Mind if I sit?"
"Go ahead."
She pulls her knees up to her chest to make room for me. I ease myself down and take a deep breath. Ray, I fell for you, I say. Hard. Her eyes go wide, but she doesn't respond. And I know there's no going back, but there's some stuff I need to tell you in order to move forward. She nods. Like Thanksgiving. I know you don't remember, but after you asked to kiss me, I had to take a cold shower. Oh, she blushes. And when you did kiss me, although I was mad, am mad, because you took something I can't get back, I shoved you away because it made my feelings too real and I didn't know how to handle it, I say. I thought you were unattainable. I could see how you and Coop looked at each other, and when I learned that he told you something he never told me, I just shut down. She nods. That's fair. I felt bad after because I overreacted, and I really didn't want to lose you as a friend. You didn't overreact, she says. What? Your reaction was perfectly reasonable, Jupiter. I shouldn't have overridden your agency, as I've heard you put it, and I'm sorry. Oh. Okay. There's a loaded pause. Sorry for interrupting, she says. You were saying? Shit, what was I saying? I'm so thrown by her apology, I can't even remember. You didn't want to ruin the friendship? Ah. Yes, so I was trying to keep myself in check, but we were spending all this time together because Coop had basketball. And every time I looked at you, my mind would replay that kiss. So my feelings just took over. Her eyes dropped to her knees. I kept thinking about what you said the night you kissed me, and after the whole Carl's Closet thing, you got super affectionate with me. So I started to wonder if we could be something more. That's what I planned to tell you the day you told me how you felt about Coop. Now she won't look up at all. Might as well go for it now. Coop and I had sex, Ray. Her head snaps up. You what? I sigh. I'm not proud of what I did, and I assure you, it was me. Coop had no idea you liked him. I gulp. You hadn't told him yet. She doesn't respond, but she doesn't need to. Her face is so red, if I didn't know the cause, I'd be worried about her health. It's no excuse, but I panicked when you told me how you felt about him because I knew you guys would wind up together. I could see it. And yeah, I was pissed at you for leading me on, so that was part of it. So this is what dropping your label is about. I swallow. Yeah. You're into Courtney then? Ugh. Yeah, I am. Wow. There's that menacing silence again. I don't plan to do anything about it, I say. I've done some shitty things, but that's a whole other level. My announcement this morning was for me. She just sits there, blinking. Anyway, I wanted to tell you that I'm sorry. What I did was wrong, and I hope one day you'll be able to forgive me, but I'll give you some space. I stand to leave, hoping against hope that she'll say something. She doesn't. And I force myself to look at her before pulling the door open. I know it's hard to believe considering everything I've done, but you really do mean a lot to me, Ray. Coop's lucky to have you. I watch her chest rise and fall as she sighs, and then she shifts her gaze to her lace-curtained bedroom window. Guess that's my cue. I leave. By the time I wake up on my big 1-7 4 days later, I feel like I've aged a decade. The fragrance of my traditional birthday breakfast hits my nose. French toast, tres leches style, bacon, fried plantains, and scrambled eggs smothered in sofrito. But all I can think about is how much has changed. In a few minutes, Poppy and Dad will call me down to eat breakfast and open presents, and I'm not sure if Coop will be there. He and I are cool again, but we haven't really seen each other or spoken a whole lot because, well, Ray, whom I haven't heard from in 5 days. I sigh and sit down at my desk to open my laptop. There's a loud bump on the stairs and somebody yells, "Damn, brah, could you watch where you put them gargantuan-ass phalanges?" Of course it makes me smile. My bedroom door opens and Coop strides in, carrying a small wood table with bowed legs and a cardboard box sitting on top of it. "Happy birthday, my little jupy-jupe," he crows, stopping to smile as the room fills with the fragrance of Axe Peace body spray. "Could you not stand right in front of the door?" Gully says from behind him. "This thing is heavy. Britain's tiny ass can't keep up, so this horn keeps hitting me in the chin." "Yeah, brah, and that axe you bathed in got me about to pass out. Did you have to use the whole damn can?" Coop rolls his eyes and carries the table and box over to the corner near my window. That's when Britton and Golly waddle in carrying, "What even is that?" Coop sets the table down, crosses his arms, and rocks back on his heels. "That is a Pile Pro turntable. With horn. It looks like a vintage phonograph, but plays vinyl, cassette tapes, CDs, and MP3s. Britton and Golly stumble over and deposit the turntable on the bow-legged stand. "Good old Freddie Mercury in every form," Coop continues. "Speaking of which," he brings over the box he was carrying and sets it on the floor beside me. Freddie and the guys look up at me from the perfectly square cardboard cover of the game. I know my eyes are as big as the Queen coasters Dad has downstairs. Are these all originals? Some of them signed. There's no way. But how? I went to donate some clothes to Carl's Closet, and he literally handed me the box, which was kind of a moment for me. The Carousel Carl, scientist of circles and cycles, handing me a box of circular objects that work by spinning on a turntable. Man, he shakes his head. Anyway, he told me somebody left it with a bag of men's suits and asked if I wanted to go through it. "I know some of you kids are getting into vinyl these days, right?" is what he said. Shit was wild. I don't know what to say. Wow. There's a card in the box that you can open later. Later? Yep. "Hey, dogs, thanks for your help. We'll see you tomorrow, all right? Cool. Goodbye." Golly glares at Coop. "You better be lucky we love Jupiter, fool." "Right, brah." Britton chimes in, "Old ungrateful ass." "Fellas, fellas," from Coop, "can we not inundate this amazing young woman with our masculine vitriol on her birthday?" Britton sucks his teeth and Golly rolls his eyes. "Happy birthday, Jupiter," Golly says. "Let us know if this punk ass steps out of line." "Yeah, asshole," Britton says to Coop. "You better make our friend feel like she's experiencing the glory of a serene today." "The glory of a what?" Coop says. "A serene, brah. It's a fine tropical rain falling from a cloudless night sky." Britton closes his eyes and stretches his arms out like he's standing in the midst of one. "Ray taught me that shit." Golly smacks his forehead and then shoves Britton toward the door. They pull it shut as they leave, and Coop drops down into the Lazy Boy. He's just sitting in the chair with his eyes closed and a slight smile tugging at his lips. I swallow and say, "Thanks for the gift," and he opens his eyes to look at me and grins. "Can't even deal." I turn to face my laptop. "I'm really glad you're here," I say. "Wasn't sure how this birthday thing was gonna work with you having a girlfriend and all." "That reminds me." The Lazy Boy groans as he shifts, and then he taps me on the shoulder and hands me a pink envelope. It smells like Ray's Teeny Bopper perfume, and the blurred vision from my instantly wet eyes catches me off guard. I look up at Coop, who seems to be avoiding eye contact, and swallow super hard before gently opening it. There's a card inside. The front says, "Best friends are like sweaty thighs." And when I open it and read the punchline, "Thick or thin, they stick together," I laugh and cry simultaneously. Inside the card are a receipt for a yearly subscription to Feminist Monthly, a pressed violet, and a letter folded into the shape of a rabbit.
April 30th. Dear Jupiter. First, it is my genuine hope that this card isn't overtly offensive. Out of all the available options, it was the most apt expression of how I feel about our friendship. I know we haven't spoken since your confession of sorts, but that's largely because I haven't known what to say. The things you told me, well, it was a lot to process, as I'm sure you can imagine. I'm still pretty pissed at you, and Courtney for that matter, but I do feel I need to make a series of confessions and issue an apology of my own. To keep matters brief, I really did like you. I've apologized for kissing you without your consent, but I do want you to know that I meant it. It was a new thing for me, being attracted to a girl. And I truly do think I'm bisexual. While I was apprehensive because I'd never experienced anything like it, I did want our interactions to blossom beyond the bounds of friendship. Yes, I was also grappling with feelings for Courtney, but It wasn't until after you shut me down that I even considered him a possibility. All that said, I was using you. After my feelings for Courtney crystallized, I clung to you for the sake of hiding from him. When you explained what you'd really come to tell me the day I professed my feelings for him, I felt culpable because, you're right, I did lead you on. I'm sorry. I'll go ahead and tell you that things will probably be tense for a little while, but I do think we'll eventually get back to semi-normal functioning. A lot's about to change. Courtney will fill you in, I'm sure. But know that you truly were the best friend I ever had. And despite this mini mutual treason, though not that we're keeping score, yours was way bigger. I wouldn't be who I am today if not for your friendship. I do hope that in time we'll get back to thick as thieves, or thighs, if you ask this card. But not under false pretenses from either of us this time. Meanwhile, I hope you have a prodigiously wonderful birthday. I'll see you at dinner tonight, and we can hug and all that if you're okay with it. I love you very much, in a strictly platonic way. Sincerely, Ray Evelyn Chin.
My face is officially a five-spout faucet. Tears pouring from both eyes, snot flowing, bit of drool running down, the whole deal. Coop goes to grab my box of tissues from the bedside table, but he doesn't say a word, and I'm thankful. It makes me cry a little harder because the fact that he knows exactly what I need right now makes it clear that he and I are back to us. And with that, I have to leave the damn room because, hello, bittersweet much? He's got his eyes closed and his hands clasped over his stomach when I come back. It stings to see him sitting like that and know I can't really sit with him the way I want to. Yeah, this is gonna take some getting used to now that everything's out in the open. I plop down in my desk chair. Hmm? You know, you and Ray being like, together. Oh, that reminds me. He pauses. Waits till I turn. Since you got your laptop open and I have no idea how to use that turntable thing, he looks down at his hands, then back up at me. His eyes are shimmering. I need you to cue the jam jukes. I turn back to the laptop and am just about to click on the little triangle icon when the meaning of what he said hits me. It's been 8 months since the last time this happened, after all. I spin around to face him. I'm sure my face looks like he just told me he got her pregnant. She called and dumped me right after you left her house on Monday, he says. Monday? You mean you've been single this whole week? Yep. Her dad's been driving her to school and everything. Which I wouldn't have known because I've been riding with Britton and Golly to avoid causing unnecessary tension in the car with Coop and Ray. I put my face in my hands. Oh my God, I totally ruined another one of your relationships. I mean, I did spend the duration of said relationship lying by omission. Fair point. He pauses and then, I'm sure she was also getting sick of the fact that I wouldn't really kiss her. Say what? Huh? Well, our eyes meet, then he looks away. Can't believe I'm telling you this. He pauses again. Spit it out, Coop! Now he sighs. Well, I only kissed her once. She tried to kiss me pretty early on, but I stopped her. Told her I didn't want to move too fast or some shit like that. Can't help but grin. You ass! But then when you hooked up with Brianna and were all gloaty about it, he shakes his head, we'll just say things might have gotten a little hot and heavy when Ray and I were alone that night. Oh, that hurts way worse than I anticipated. Didn't go too far. I knew I was only doing it to get back at you, and I couldn't stop thinking about what your dad or mine would say if either knew. So stopped before we reached that point of no return. But yeah, haven't really touched her at all since. Wow. We probably only lasted this long because she was still under the impression I was some ultra-pure virgin. Talk about loaded eye contact. Now I have to look away. Well, sorry another girl dumped you because of me, I say. It was for the best. She's going to that fancy prep school next year and will be in Nicaragua for most of the summer with her dad and sister, so we wouldn't have seen much of each other over the next couple months anyway. Interesting. So you gonna play the jam or what? He relaxes back into the chair. I need to tell you something first. I take a deep breath. You weren't my first kiss. His eyebrows shoot up. And then he looks at the floor, but not before I catch the hurt all over his face. Oh, he says. It was Ray. His head lifts. She kissed me on New Year's Eve. Wow. That explains a lot. Yeah. He clears his throat. Did you like it? I should have known this question was coming. I didn't like that she just did it, I say. That's why you have the entire bracelet. Yours was the first kiss I actually wanted. He gulps. I see. I sigh. The whole thing is still bittersweet. Not sure that'll ever go away. Jupe, can I ask you something? Hmm? It's really none of my business, and you don't have to answer. There goes that Adam's apple, bobbing like one of those red and white ball thingies on a fishing line. I just know if I don't ask, it'll eat away at my internal organs. I roll my eyes. Ask the question, Coop. Exactly how far did you go with Brianna? Oh. You really want to know? No? Yes? He takes a deep breath. Maybe we went all the way, Coop. Ah. It was kind of terrible, though. No idea why I'm saying this. It's not the least bit true. Terrible is pretty strong for a person with your novice level of sexual experience. Oh, shut up. He laughs, stares at me. And I can't take it. Okay, so I'm totally lying, I say. It wasn't terrible. It was actually phenomenal. That girl definitely knows a thing or two about what to do with her. Yes, stop. Zero interest in hearing the ins and outs of your girl-girl sexcapades. Only happened once. Still. Anyway, physically, it wasn't terrible. I pause, and there's that loaded eye contact again. But it wasn't like with you. He smiles. You know, this is normally where I'd make some friggin' patriarchal joke to rile you up, but I'll refrain because that might be the nicest thing you've ever said to me, Jupiter. I hate you. He stares at me for a few seconds, grinning, eyes sparkling. I love you too, he says. More staring, smirking, nonverbal communicating, a kind of magic zipping through the air between us. I can't have a boyfriend yet, I say. Girlfriend either, any kind of partner. I'm not ready. He smiles. I figured as much. We can't sleep together either, Coop. He draws back, aghast, it seems. What kind of guy do you take me for, Sanchez? One with a ding-a-ling, I say, and he laughs. Fair enough. I smile at him. He smiles at me. I want you to know you have my full support in your journey. You could be anything, and it wouldn't. It's science, I say. His eyes go wide, and I clear my throat. Might have looked up Carl on YouTube. Got pretty sucked in, actually. That water cycle episode? Man. I really, really, really love you, Jupes. I blush, look over my shoulder at Freddy, back at Coop. Smile again, because I can't help it. I love you too, loser. Oh, I know. Just don't get cocky. I'd feel the same if you had a vagina. Might love you even more then. You're ridiculous. And you love it, as you said. Can't argue there, he says. So, the jam? I nod, turn back to the computer. Dance break burst 2? You better believe it, baby. I press play. Author's note and acknowledgements. I got married to my dream man before fully accepting certain things about myself, namely my attractions to other women. And while in many ways it's not as taboo a thing as it was back then, being open about it is still a little nerve-wracking for me after years and years of lying by omission, in a sense. Which is why I wrote this book. It's a book I needed at 12 when I was skittish at slumber parties and worried about playing truth or dare because I didn't want the other girls to know about the fire I felt below my navel when I watched them kiss each other and stuff. I needed it at 15, 16, 17, when I would change for cheer practice separate from the other girls because I didn't want anybody to catch me looking. Flee temptation, my Bible said. I needed it at 21 when trying to navigate intense romantic feelings for a female friend. And I need it now as I continue to waffle between labels. Am I bisexual, pansexual, queer, heteroflexible, all of the above, none of the above? Bottom line, there's nothing wrong with questioning, and I personally don't think self-discovery has an expiration date. For some, labels are grounding and give a sense of identity. Others find them too narrow or restrictive. Some might be attracted to one gender identity at one point and a different gender identity at another. A guy who has only ever been attracted to men might find himself attracted to a woman. A girl who has only ever liked boys might find herself falling for her trans female best friend. None of this is as simple as we want it to be. And I think that should be okay. Being who you are and loving who you love may not be easy, but it's always worthwhile. I owe the existence of this book to the following people. The first girl I ever kissed, who shall remain unnamed for the sake of her privacy. My incredible husband, Nigel, who wasn't angry at all when I came out to him a few weeks after our wedding. My book mom and editor extraordinaire, Phoebe A., who encourages me to write what I want. It just has to be good. My wonderful agent, Rena Rossner, who continues to put up with my shenanigans, and my beloved friends, Maggie Thrash, who encouraged me to write this book for me, Ashley Woodfolk, who read it countless times and fueled me with her cries of, "I just love it so much," when I was ready to throw my computer out the window and then run it over with my car, and Dee Dee Nesbitt, who let me bounce ideas off her at all hours of the day and night and wouldn't let me give up on this story. Love to all those who allowed me to ask them invasive questions for research and or did beta sensitivity reads. Yanata Bell, Mr. Jose and Mrs. Yolanda Perez, Dan Perez, Misty Novich, Tyena Brown, Eric Rogers, Alexandra Chin, Melissa Wilcox, Talia Daniels, Malcolm McAllister, Becky Albertalli, Kevin Savoy, Marcus Alexander, Taylor K. Mejia, Dave Conis, David Arnold, Greg Andre, Anitra Van Pruyen, Wasan Palmer, and Ava Mortier, and Sarah Tofam, Jared Amato, and the Amato All-Stars, Jacalia, Rodria, and David, for being my pinch readers. Also, Elizabeth Stranahan for her tireless work behind the scenes, Kathy Dunn for making me seem way more appealing than I actually am, LOL, and my Random House squatties, Adrian, Kristen, Jules, Mary, Dominique, Sydney, Allison, and Lisa. And thanks to Joey Tam for being Joey Tam. I'm sure I forgot somebody because I can be very forgetful. My sincerest apologies for making you the odd one out. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Odd One Out by Nick Stone. Book 1, The Game Plan, Courtney, was read by Dion Graham. Book 2, A Sesquipedalian Search for a Simplified Science Savant, Ray, was read by Kim My Guest. Book 3, Another One Bites the Dust, Jupiter, was read by Nick Stone. This program was directed by Simone Barros and Kelly Gilday. Executive producer, Kelly Gilday. Text copyright 2018 by Andrea Livingstone. Production copyright 2018, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.